reported party.
Stand by. We are trying to call back for a description.
Take it off on me.
4, 3, 2, 1.
Copy. Woke up quick at about noon.
Welcome. This is the Lowdown.
You ready for the Lowdown?
Yay! It must be 12 o'clock. My station's on lock. Check your positions. Time for D-Lo. J-Ross and I, and we'll play your favorite.
The Lowdown. Damian Barling and Jason Ross.
Noon to 3 o'clock. You know they hot just from the intro. This the Lowdown.
The Lowdown. Lowdown.
And a very good afternoon to you. Welcome to the November 13th edition of the Lowdown. I'm Damian Barling, along with the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be, Jason Herbert Walker Ross. Plenty to do here today. A thriller on Monday Night Football. That was a really good game. I enjoyed that, though I have a lot of gripes with the NFL, which is going to be a running theme throughout the day. But we'll talk about the Giants. Eli Manning is back. No, okay. We'll get to that the night in the association as well. Is it time to blow up the Warriors? Dum, dum, dum. No. But two hard-headed guys were going at it last night. So we'll have that. Pelicans hand the Raptors their second loss. But Kings fans, how you feeling this morning? Those types of wins against the Spurs are quite rare. As a matter of fact, since the 2004-2005 season, counting last night, your Sacramento Kings are 6-45 against the San Antonio Spurs. That is the worst win percentage by one team against another in that span. That win, and you heard this number a lot last night, snapped a 14-game losing streak against the San Antonio Spurs. And what a fantastic finish by the Sacramento Kings.
I loved every bit of last night. That was great. I mean, it was what I was saying on the broadcast with G-Man and Damian. I don't know if you felt this way. Once the Spurs caught the Kings, and there was never any real separation, but the Kings had the lead a majority of the game. 5 minutes to go, tie game.
Mm-hmm.
They've got Pop. They've got Aldridge. They've got DeRozan. They've been in that game 1,000 times. The Kings were the better team in the final 5 minutes. That was encouraging. That was fun. They made the 10-0 run. They made the plays. They made the defensive stops. They had the highlights. That was a really nice win. And I also liked it because, all right, we just talked yesterday about the Laker game. That was awful.
Yeah.
So don't make it a thing. Don't make it a 2, 3, 4-game losing streak. They got right back and won the very next game, and I think that was important.
Number of things I love about that. One, it can't be lost what you just said about the Laker game. That was by far their worst performance of the year, and to bounce back with a quality win against the San Antonio Spurs like they did yesterday is a positive. One thing that I like most about it is this win strayed from – this wasn't 140 to 130. This win kind of strayed from what has gotten everybody's attention about this Kings team. This win strayed a little bit from the run the floor, get up and down, score a ton of points, just hope you outlast everybody. This was just a in the flow of the game type of win where there were moments of defensive stops from both teams. There was a slow third quarter from both. There was kind of a slow to average first quarter,
mm-hmm.
and a kind of a slow third quarter. But it still, you know, resulted in a 104-99 win. So there's so many positives to take away. De'Aaron Fox is just like he is.
It's happening.
This dude is a star, man.
Yep.
Like I woke up this morning, and I swear to you, this is how lame my life is. I woke up this morning trying to figure out how Willie Cauley-Stein caught that ball and dunked it.
On the
alley-oop. I woke up and like I thought of it for a second, and of course I turned it on TV and it was one of the highlights they were showing. And I just kept rewinding it. Like, how did he grab that ball where he did and still dunk it? That is an underrated, great alley-oop of all time. Like, that was phenomenal.
Yeah.
And I haven't come to a conclusion. So if you have one, please send it here to the Fire Wings hotline, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140.
I never saw the play again besides live. And you see enough plays, it looked different. Like, lobs come in at a higher angle, different spot. Both guys were running basically the same speed. One just went by the other.
He caught it down like on his opposite hip.
Yeah.
And he caught it in the air down on his opposite hip. And then somehow in the air, again, yeah. I haven't figured it out. Like, he brought it up.
And the whole thing with those plays or the run that's happening and someone gets their feet set for an open three is the anticipation. When it's caught, feet are set, jumper's on the way, the building's ready. And in that one, too, it was 8-0 run, transition is happening, De'Aaron's got it, everybody's excited. What's the dagger going to be? And then you know it's not a shot, and they're like, wait, this doesn't – it just didn't look like it was going to work. And then it did, and then again, the roof comes off the building.
It was very much a, oh, my gosh, type moment. Like, I mean, because we saw – I mean, the California Classic was loaded when – was it Bagley?
Yes.
Like, on the – like, when it, one of his first plays as a pro is just a monster dunk.
Yeah.
And you know what that is right away. That Willie Cauley-Stein alley-oop, like, I'm watching it at home, and I'm not sure what I just saw.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, did he – was it one of those where it wasn't a dunk? It was just kind of an aggressive, like, lay-in?
Right.
Like, no, he got over.
And, I mean, I know it was part of the moment, the 10-0 run, but I also got the feeling that they loved it. Like, I always think it's cool. Like, the fans are going to love anything. But when a player kind of like, that was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the way they look. Like, that was sweet.
Well, what I Grant couldn't even call it because I don't think he knew what happened. Like,
right.
He just made a – like, I think he just yelled Stein or Willie.
Yeah.
Or he yelled something. It was such an – like, he couldn't even get out his tagline.
Right.
Like, it was such a great play. It was just such a – what the F was that?
Right.
Like, what is that?
Yeah.
So – and those aren't – you're not – you're used to those WTF moments with the Sacramento Kings, just not in a positive nature like that was.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what that was last night. And it was just one of the many plays. You mentioned it, it was the final 4 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
That's as good as I've seen the Sacramento Kings play. There is no hyperbole in this remark for a short stretch of period in a game that you can call whether the 14th game of the season. You can determine how meaningful that is to you however you want. That is as good of a stretch as I've seen the Sacramento Kings play in a decade.
That's pretty incredible.
I mean, and if I'm wrong, then tell me I'm wrong and tell me a more impressive time. But that final 4 minute stretch against this team, who they just don't beat.
Yeah, it's because they don't beat themselves. And I didn't feel like the Spurs beat themselves. I feel like the Kings beat them. Right? I mean, they made the defensive stops. They were the team. I mean, you're right. How many times have we seen this game, even in the last couple of years? Oh, the Kings were in it. 4 minutes to go. Anybody's game.
Moral victory.
Better team won.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, the better team in the final 4 minutes was the Kings last night. They really were, and they executed. They made the plays both ends of the floor. The crowd got behind them. They lifted them through. And, again, Pop's been in that moment. I know it's not the exact same Spurs team, but you're still going to trust DeRozan and Aldridge and – you know, whether it's Patty Mills or Bellinelli or whatever version of the Spurs that they had out there at the time, I would put a lot of faith in them. But instead, it was, you know, what De'Aaron was doing and Bogey's value. Gosh, it's his third game back, and you just look at him and you go, kind of like we've said about Kawhi and a few others, like, you forget how good he is. And just there's moments where, like, he just was directing, so calm, so poised, and made so many big plays.
I'm going to go out on a limb here. I think he's starting by the time the Kings play next time.
Okay.
Against Memphis. I think it's on Friday. I think he's back in the starting lineup then. I don't think the point was to ever leave him long-term out of the starting lineup. That's an assumption. I don't know for sure. We'll tell you this right now. Let's kind of reset everything. If you want to jump in here on the phone lines, you can. The Fire Wings hotline. Try one of their delicious 21 flavors of wings today. Fire Wings, just wing it. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Kings fans, want to let you know a couple of things right now. James Hamm of NBC Sports is going to be with us at 2:05 today. He will be with us coming up in about 20 minutes. We'll let you know when you can grab tickets to see Iron Maiden. They're going to be at the Golden One Center on September 9th, 2019.
Mm-hmm.
We've got these tickets for you. We'll let you know how you can get your hands on those coming up again in just 20 minutes. But I don't think the point ever long-term was to keep Bogey out of the starting lineup moving forward. I think it was to get him in, to get a feel for the game, to get a feel for the pace of the way that the Kings are playing. And I do wonder, we've been taught to tease across days as well. Jason March is going to join us tomorrow at 2:30, who he is the assistant coach of the Sacramento Kings, and I believe he is our new best friend forever.
Mm-hmm.
So he'll be with us at 2:30 tomorrow. We could talk to him about this. But the way Bogey played last night, not the most efficient night, but he timely baskets, and he doesn't look like he's shaken by the pace of the you know, coming. It's one thing to you know, come in during the off season or whatever and try to pick up this play. Like, he's coming off of an injury, he's coming off of rehab and all the tedious work that goes along with rehabbing, and he seems to have slid right into it just fine.
Yeah, and the only thing I wonder about your question or your thought that Bogey starts next game is, he was with the bench unit, and I thought that was the best the bench unit has been in a while. I think if there's an early season weakness for the team, besides maybe complete total defense, but would be the bench production. And I could maybe see Jaeger leaving it this way. Still playing him a ton, still playing him winning minutes. You know, the last 5 minutes he's in, or last 3 minutes he was in. And we saw the better version of Harry Giles. We saw a pretty good version.
Yeah, how did Stockton work out for Harry Giles?
Yeah.
I mean, a dude has played four basketball games in four nights, is that right?
Well, he was available for four, right? Because he wasn't really playing. And he was out of the rotation. There's an injury to Costa, not a major one, but out for the game. So he moves up one peg, gets the confidence a little bit, at least I hope, in Stockton. And Harry, I mean, he wasn't good. He hasn't been playing good. Mm-hmm. Yesterday he was really good. I think that was awesome to see. And I know a lot of people have huge hopes for him, myself included, but I think he needed – just kind of needed that. And I think Bogey helped with all of that.
You know, I like your theory of leaving Bogey on the bench because of, or your idea of leaving Bogey on the bench because of how much he improves the overall quality of play from them. This feels like a team that's bought in to everything. Mm-hmm. And that type of strategy won't work everywhere.
Right.
Leave this guy on the bench because
special players,
he's a, I'm a starter quality player in this league. I want to be a starter. I want my name introduced on the road. I want all of that stuff. That's not this team, or at least it doesn't appear to be this team. This group of individuals appears like they have bought in into everything that has been the Sacramento Kings through the first 14 games of the season.
Yeah, and you and I both had speculated, like, well, maybe the best lineup anyway is Bogey with Buddy and De'Aaron kind of starters, and then figure out your two bigs, whether it's Bagley or Bielita and then Willie. But you can also make an argument, they don't play him every night, but they just played Kawhi Leonard. They'll play Kevin Durant. They'll play Paul George. There's a lot of good LeBron James perimeter threes that most people can't handle anyway, but I think that's where they like Shumpert.
Yeah.
And so if, you know, what was Shumpert's minutes? Yeah, 26 and Bogey was 24. I mean, that's almost interchangeable. And I could just see it kind of left this way for a while and then, you know, plan accordingly almost inside the game. It's like, oh no, Bogey's playing 35 tonight, or no, the starters are going well and there's a little less from the bench. So I think that's I don't know, just a hunch, but we'll talk to Jason March about that tomorrow.
339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Chris, lead us off, my man. Appreciate the call.
Hey guys, so I wanted to call because I like the way the Kings are playing. I like the way the Kings are playing to start the year. I would have said there's probably one person I was mostly concerned about that was going to be our starting lineup, and that's Willie. Now, I'm a complete turnaround of that. Love the way Willie's been playing. I know a couple guys have also felt the same way I do, that they couldn't have seen Willie on the team next year. Do you think the way he's been playing, he's now earned his spot to be able to be with the team this year if it continues, and can he sustain this way of play? Because I think he's finally starting to play how all of us thought he could.
Some great questions in there, Chris. Let's stop with next year. We're 14 games in. It's fun. Let's just be in this moment right now before we worry about what Willie Cauley-Stein is going to be next season. I mean, if I'm a general manager and I'm talking to his agent, there's a lot we're picking apart here. Like, the finish, again, the final 4 minutes of that game was extraordinary, and Willie's a big part of that. Willie's a big part of why this is working, because he can run the floor the way De'Aaron Fox can run the floor. That's what I'm saying if I'm his agent. If I'm Blade, I'm like, yeah, he had 13 points last night, 13 rebounds. That's fantastic. He took 14 shots to get those, and he's our post player. Mm-hmm. So let's – and again, I'm playing the devil's advocate here, so play along with me, but let's chill with what Willie's going to be next year. So far, it's working. Let's let it keep working.
Yeah, the question's going to be there.
And Chris, that's a fair question. I understand it's a fair question.
Yeah, it's going to be there. It doesn't have to be answered today. I think it's one we think about. We've pondered it, too. It's like, well, what do you do? The great thing is you don't have to decide today. I think you think about it every day. There'll be a stretch, a couple games. Oh, man, I'm down on Willie. Then it's boom. There he is. He's six games in a row. He's amazing. One of the pace of play, I feel like the style fits him so well. I feel like it fits De'Aaron so well. It's fit Buddy really well. And there's no coincidence that those three guys are having really strong seasons. And so, fair question from Chris. I don't know. That's a tough one for the GMs, but they don't have to decide today.
Yeah, Chris, keep having the argument with your buddies, man, because it's going to be a season-long argument. We appreciate the call, man. Thank you so much. David, you're up.
Hey, thanks again, guys. I was on yesterday talking about the Lakers game, and I feel like the Kings learned so much from that they use that against the Spurs. Their maturity and discipline on the floor was night and day.
Yeah.
Because a lot of those guys are mature on the Spurs, too, but they weren't flustered by it like they were with the Lakers.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. I mean, second night of a back-to-back, we can make excuses like all day. The fact is they had a bad game, and you always want your team – you know, we're going to talk about this later. We talked about this with the Carolina Panthers. They got the crap kicked out of them by the Pittsburgh Steelers. Cam Newton went to the podium and said, well, it's about what we do next.
Right.
Same thing with the Sacramento Kings. They got their butt kicked by the Los Angeles Lakers. Well – what do they do next? Well, we saw it last night with the San Antonio Spurs.
Yeah, and confidence is a huge part of that. And if I can make one more point, I really want to see, for some reason, I feel like Bagley just needs to be tested. And the more that the confidence builds behind him and the rest of the team, but particularly Bagley, that the more confidence that builds behind him, he's just going to flourish. And I don't think we need to baby him so much like with who he guards or how many minutes he gets or nothing like this. I really want to see him just kind of feet to the fire type of deal. But that's just my opinion.
Oh, right on, David. We appreciate your opinion, my man. Have a fantastic day, and we appreciate the call. I don't think Bagley's being babied at all.
No.
I don't think they're. I don't think they're monitoring his minutes. I just think when there's some shortcomings, they take him out.
Yeah, and for the moment, he's behind Willie, who we just talked about having a terrific season. Bielitsa, who's been really pretty good, had a couple of rocky games in there. And then Kostas played some. But he's played every game. He's in the rotation. He's in the mix. And, I mean, I was thinking about this last night. The irony of it all is if, okay, they're 8-6, but if this was a 4-10 Kings team, Marvin's probably playing a lot. Mm-hmm. But they're not. And so the people that say, well, look at how much Luka's playing and Trae Young, and no, they're playing more.
Okay.
They're, you know, the Kings are doing better. And I think that's – and Bagley's still a part of the current part of what they're doing, and I think he's a huge part of their future.
It's not the 9 minutes or eight or some of whatever number it was the first game of the season where we all came in the next day like, okay, what? Like, we don't like this.
Yeah, he was 21. I mean, Buddy was 25.
That's
a good spot to be.
I mean, the guys who are this was a team win yesterday.
Absolutely.
There are plenty of games that we can go back this year and look at, okay, the starting lineup, boy. You noted it earlier. If you leave Bogey there on the bench, that's a huge boost for the bench, not only because of his offensive production, but his basketball IQ.
Sure.
It helps. This was the Sacramento Kings winning the game. This wasn't the starting five. This wasn't De'Aaron Fox and Marvin Bagley. This wasn't any combination. This was an entire team effort yesterday. Randy, we appreciate your call. What's on your mind?
Hey, I was just going to back up what you just said. Originally, I think you mentioned you think Bogey should be in the starting lineup, which – I kind of think that they might need him on in the backup position, although he probably should be playing about 30 minutes a game. I really do think that the second unit plays a lot better with him as your ball handler. I think he's a great quarterback for the second unit.
Sure. No, that's I mean, that was Jason's line of thinking, and it makes perfect sense. Yeah, it makes perfect sense to me.
Yep, that's all I got, man.
We appreciate you, Randy. Thanks, brother. Have a great day. Let's go to Dion, man. Dion, Kings fans are excited today. I like it. Dion, what's up, baby?
Damian, Jason, what's going on, man?
How are you?
Hey, bold prediction. The Kings will be the eighth seed.
All right. Not Dion.
Oh, come on. Let Dion have his fun.
Dion.
Why only the eighth seed, Dion?
Come on, prime time.
Hey,
settle down.
Fifth seed.
Hey, did you guys see Willie Kelly's sign? Man, that dunk was sick, man. I thought he was going out of bounds. Man, that was a sick dunk, man.
Yeah, come on, Damian, did you see that?
Man, that was off the charts. But look, I think you guys answered my question a few days ago. Bogey might be that X factor. He is that one player I was looking for.
Yeah.
He might be that player. But the Kings are playing so fast, man. These teams can't keep up with them.
I wish everybody was as happy in life as Dion is right now.
All right,
Dion, we appreciate you, baby.
He's fired up.
Hey, Why stop at the 8 seed?
Yeah, that's right.
The Warriors apparently are a portrait of dysfunction this morning.
Yeah, they're going to be out. There'll be a non-playoff team, lottery bound.
For sure. Probably. Yeah. Probably. They're going to wind up with Zion Williamson.
Yeah.
Which is going to combat Kevin Durant going where? To the Los Angeles Lakers, like I told you.
Yep.
This is it. This confirmed. Yesterday confirmed that Kevin Durant's going to the Warriors.
Yeah. Or Lakers, you mean.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, because he's going to the Warriors, because that made total freaking sense. For the love of everything. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140 if you want to get in here. Love the excitement of Kings fans. It was just kind of one of those days where it's like, this is going to be a good day.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a good day to do this for a living, because people are going to be excited. And again, you can think whatever you want to about some of the Kings' wins this year. You can think whatever you want to about the quality of opponents. I'll give you this number again. 6-45 over the last 14 seasons. That's their record against Greg Popovich and the San Antonio Spurs. 6-45.
I think it's interesting the point you brought up, and I hadn't really processed it that way, but someone else kind of had the same line of thinking. They told me that on social media, and I went, I don't know, maybe we're going too far, but how incredible you thought the win was, just based on what the Kings have done this year, who they beat, when they beat them, and how much trouble they've had with them, it is a pretty significant win. Because, you know, last year, okay, they beat the Warriors. All right, well, that was in January when the Kings weren't going anywhere and the Warriors were sitting out a few guys. I mean, they've had wins against good teams over the last couple of years. But I think it's people are starting to notice Sacramento. I don't know if you saw the quote from what Pop
said. Popovich, yeah.
You know,
culture's changing.
Sees it changing drastically. So, again, it's slow. It's happening. Doesn't mean there won't be more bumps in the road, but I think it's really fun to see this right now.
We're bump-free moving forward.
Winning out?
Yeah. Well, I ain't got to win out,
okay.
But no more bumps.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, the Laker game
seed. Give me a
doesn't
break.
Mean it's a bump. That was a bad game,
like,
right?
We can't finish second or third.
Well, behind Westbrook, of course.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Who, by the way, have like they've never lost with Westbrook out. Don't you? I can see the wheels in your brain turning. Knock it off.
I don't have wheels.
Squirrel.
Yeah.
Squirrel.
Chase.
I've been anxious to get to this. And we'll talk plenty more about the Sacramento Kings, by the way. James Hamm, NBC Sports, is going to be with us at 2:05. Plenty of time here if you want to get in on the phone lines. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. We got to talk about the Monday Night Football game last night. We got Iron Maiden tickets that we're going to give away coming up in 7 minutes. Or we'll let you know, excuse me, how you can win those in 7 minutes. I was really anxious to talk about this today. I didn't really know the placement of the show that we would fit this topic in. I have strong feelings on it, and I absolutely love this latest tweet from Adam Schefter. I'll read it to you verbatim. If Monday night's game is played, wait, is it Monday or Thursday? What's the
Monday
Thursday?
Night, the Chiefs,
it's Monday.
Rams,
okay.
Yeah.
If Monday night's game is played in Mexico City, a number of Rams and Chiefs players are now strongly considering not playing in that game on that messy surface. It's not fair to risk our health, said one prominent player. That was tweeted by Adam Schefter just a few minutes ago. I had wondered when I saw the pictures of that field today and I saw what the NFL did in Oakland and San Francisco, and we'll talk about this in just a few minutes. I thought players have to be the ones to step forward and say, nope, we're not doing this. They have to stop scheduling these games in places that aren't equipped to hold NFL games. That field today looks ridiculous. Like, you wouldn't want your high school son playing on that game, much less a $27, $28, $29 million quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk more about this. I think this is going to be a big story moving forward. We'll talk about the game itself last night, the Giants and the 49ers, Eli and Mullins. It was a fun Monday night, believe it or not. I thought it was a hell of a game. We'll talk about that and continue with the Kings next. Lots of fantastic texts coming in here on the Jiffy Lube text line at 44-11-40. Kings haven't been competitive against San Antonio since the old days. Well, how about this stat, Jason? The Kings reach 8 wins earlier in a season than the San Antonio Spurs for the first time since the 2002-2003 season.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of first time since, and a lot of the senses are that era of Kings basketball.
That's a long, I mean, as much as it feels like it could feel like yesterday, it was a long time ago. It
really was.
Yeah.
It really was. So we'll talk more about the Kings. Kings win last night, obviously, 104 to 99. James Hamm will be with us. James Hamm of NBC Sports will be with us at 2:05. And, of course, you can keep your phone calls and texts coming, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. And on the Jiffy Lube text line again at 44-1140. Iron Maiden's coming to the Golden 1 Center on September 9th, 2019. And we have got your tickets for you coming at the very top of the 2 o'clock hour. 2 o'clock on the dot. We have got you covered. We'll remind you a couple of times throughout the day, but go ahead and program that in your phone right now, especially if you're listening to us on the KHDK app, because you know you're like 45 minutes behind the live stream. Also, if you're listening on KHDK.com, I believe you're 47 minutes behind the live stream. Only a slight exaggeration there. So 2 o'clock on the dot, set your alarms. You don't have to wait for us to say anything. As soon as your alarm goes off, give us a call. The numbers that I've said 4,000 times here since the show has started, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. So we're going to get to the Giants win here in just a minute. We had just read that Adam Schefter tweeted there are some players considering sitting out the Monday night football game in Mexico City. I'm sure many of you have seen the condition of the field there in Mexico City. I want to say this real quick before we get to the performances of Eli Manning and Odell Beckham and Nick Mullins and all of that yesterday. I thought it was terribly irresponsible, and I understand how inconvenient it is. I thought it was terribly irresponsible for the NFL to play that game in Oakland on Sunday and to play that game in San Francisco yesterday. Fans should not have to go to football games with masks on. Employees shouldn't have to stand around attempting to do their job with masks on because of the potential danger of inhaling that air that is out there. There's no combating the fact that the air was in an unhealthy level. The air quality was in an unhealthy level. The air quality on Sunday in Oakland was at a very unhealthy level. And I had friends who went to the game as fans. And as a fan, you make that decision. You're going to go to a game. You're going to bear the elements, whether it's hot, whether it's raining, whether it's snowing, or whether it's smoky. That's the decision that you make when you buy those tickets. You can choose to sell the tickets. You can choose to do whatever you want to. But those people chose to go to the game. I have friends who also worked that game in Oakland. They didn't have a choice because they were working. And all of those people I spoke with yesterday are still suffering the ramifications of being out there for 3 hours, whether it's shortness of breath, whether it's sneezing and black stuff coming out of your nose. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a problem. In the NFL saying, well, we're monitoring the situation. We're monitoring the situation. Oh, well, if it had been, and I think they used this line last night, San Francisco 49er employee told me that if the air quality level had been above 200 for consecutive hours, we may have canceled the game or moved it. The NFL should have stepped in immediately and said, we're not doing this. I understand the 49ers had those kids from Paradise out there for the national anthem. Great gesture by the San Francisco 49ers. The game last night and the Raider game the day before should not have been played. And I don't think this, unless something drastic happens to this field in Mexico City, those players telling Adam Schefter, we're not doing this. There needs to be a collective unit for the Rams and the Chiefs to both step forward and say, this might be your Super Bowl preview.
Right.
This game on this field could screw up our chances in that being your Super Bowl preview. We're not doing this. The NFL is being irresponsible for continuously. This isn't the first time this has happened. And the NFL is irresponsible in not stepping forward and saying, dude, we're a week out. No. That's not happening. Whose home game is it? Los Angeles?
Yeah, they've already talked about it. LA is
move the game to Los Angeles.
Yep, they're talking about it.
And play it
right
where
now.
It should be played in front of those home fans. You're going to lose your money in Mexico City. Whatever. Move it back to where these players are safe.
Yeah. You can have makeup dates, not for this game, but another Mexico City game at another time. Other ways to figure that out.
Yeah, if you keep your field
right
in NFL shape.
Right.
And if it's not, you don't get a game.
Yeah.
It's that simple.
Absolutely.
Chris?
So you're saying the NFL should care more about player safety than money?
It's all lip service. Like, and you know what? That's, you know, I was trying to figure out how to work the player safety line in it. Like, that's, it goes back to those games in Oakland and San Francisco. And I'm not, like, we got to get to this game last night. It was a fantastic performance by, I think, both teams, by both quarterbacks, as a matter of fact. I just don't think it should have been played. And maybe I'm being hypersensitive because the smoke makes me hypersensitive. I told you, I just asked you before the show started, can you smell it? Like, it's in our studio.
Yeah.
It's making me sick. Mm-hmm. Like, my head is killing me, and it's because of that smell.
Yeah.
I'm not running 80 yards down the field. or I'm not sitting outside for 3 hours like those fans were. I think it was irresponsible. Yeah. Well, I'm sorry to go all on that, but let's get to the product on the field. The Giants got their second win of the season on Monday night, and Eli Manning, his 36th career game-winning drive in the fourth quarter or overtime. That is the third most since he entered the NFL in 2004. Many of those New York Daily News, New York Times, all of those back page New York newspapers, they thought this might be Eli's last game.
Oh, there was a lot of talk about that.
This might be Eli's last game as a quarterback, and I think there was an emphatic no. That's not going to be the case. We saw a couple of touchdown catches from Odell Beckham Jr. We saw Saquon Barkley show why he's special. This snapped a 20-game losing streak for the Giants when trailing by at least 7 points in a game. And Nick Mullins did his damnedest to get the 49ers back down the field there in those final seconds, but he was unable to do it. See, Jason is inhaling smoke,
yeah,
and he's over here coughing.
It just got me.
See, told you.
I thought that, you're right, the parts that I could catch of the game, and then I saw some of the replay later. It was fun. I mean, for what we expected, we were like, this is terrible. I mean, the 49ers to be in two primetime games the last 2 weeks, the Giants have been bad. But it gave us good drama. Eli did have a moment that he probably needed for whatever, just for even for a week or two to keep his position. And when they scored with, I don't know, 20-something, 30-something seconds left,
or it was 53,
sorry. And then, yeah, Mullins gets him back down the field. There's a couple big penalties that helped the Giants get down the field. But
well, I was thinking, like the Giants are bad enough.
Yeah.
And Nick Mullins has not been bad by any stretch of the imagination. Like, could he get the ball down the field?
Yeah.
But it would have to, you know, the difference between 27-23 versus 27-24 was monumental last night, because you got to go. They were right there on the cuff of field goal range when the game ended.
Yeah.
So, but I thought Nick Mullins did fine yesterday.
Like, yeah.
For a kid we knew nothing about when we announced he was going to play at 2:15, you know, last Thursday, he had a couple of fine performances.
He was brilliant the first one. This one, not as like effective stat-wise, but still good. And I think he showed he's a gamer. That's the thing I would say about the Niners. They have two wins. Mm-hmm. I feel like they compete. And some people are like, oh, okay, what's that mean? Well, that is something. There is something to that. Like, I don't think they're easy to beat. Yeah. I don't think they have enough talent. They've figured out how to run the ball. They don't have enough studs defensively. But they compete. And I think if your coaches get you to compete, and that's the one thing. Remember we even said that last year when I think they were 1-9 or whatever. It's like, man, this team, they don't win, but they sure seem together, and there's something to be said for that. And then they won once they got Garoppolo and won the rest of the games last year. I feel like the right personnel with that mentality, I think they're going to be okay going forward.
You said that when Jimmy Garoppolo got hurt, and I was really skeptical. Last year, before Jimmy Garoppolo started playing, the 49ers were competitive. They were in games. They were losing.
Yeah.
You speculated that that could happen again because it's what they did last year. And I thought, Jason, they can't do that again. Like they're like last year, Jimmy Garoppolo was a boost. This year, between Jerick McKinnon before the season started and Jimmy Garoppolo during the season, that has to be an emotional kick. Like that's like I just don't think you can go back and go, oh, okay, we'll just be competitive like we were last year, but we just may come up short. They have. And given the times, the amount of times that it looks like Matt Breida has been out with a season-ending injury, for him to continue to perform the way that he does when he's out on the field is really good for him. On the Giant, by the way, I think I figured out who Jason Witten is.
Oh no!
I want to be clear: I'm a Jason Witten fan as a football player and as a person. He's a fantastic individual. I think Jason Witten is Michael Scott. There's a line Michael Scott is talking to David Wallace. And Michael Scott says, sometimes I start a sentence and I don't really know where it's going to end. I think that's what Jason Witten does.
Mm-hmm.
He was trying to make some correlation between Sam Darnold and franchise quarterbacks and Saquon Barkley and the Giants taking Saquon Barkley. I swear to you, I have no clue what his point was. None. And I listened to all of it. And I'm like, okay, is he making the case for Darnold or is he making the case for Barkley? And then at some point, I think he just stopped talking. I don't think he ever got to the crux of what he was trying to get to. I think he just stopped talking.
Just gave up on it. It's like, I don't know where this is going to end.
Sometimes
so
I start a
it.
Sentence and I don't know where it's going to end.
That's pretty funny. I didn't obviously get the chance to hear him during the game, but wow.
someone, when the season is over, is going to put together one hell of an online highlight of Jason Witten sentences.
If they haven't already.
Was there a kicked in the foot reference? Was that the one that we had a few weeks back? The 49ers, did you want to kick themselves in the foot or something?
Yeah.
That's tough. I hate it when that happens. I'm so if anyone was listening and knew what Jason Witten was talking about, I think this was before – I'm almost positive this was before the Kings game started because I had the volume up on it, which I didn't have when the Kings game started. So if you did the dual screen or you watched Monday Night Football before going to the Kings game, you probably saw this. But Eli had three touchdowns yesterday. You know, he targeted Odell 11 times, and Odell only caught four of them. But two of them were touchdowns. So it wasn't all fine and rosy for the New York Giants.
Yeah.
But they were able to get a win against a team that's obviously struggling.
Well, text line is chiming in.
Okay.
They said Witten also said the Niners were 2-17. They have also favorite quote of Jason Witten: "Sometimes you've got to look between the eyes." Something like that is what they said. Another one says, "If you're giving the Michael Scott, they said then Hugh Jackson is the NFL's Dwight Schrute.
Oh, 100%.
He's the special assistant to the head coach.
That is 100%. That was going to be the line for the story that Hugh Jackson is Dwight Schrute. But you know what Hugh Jackson is now? He's immortal.
Yeah,
because he's alongside the Marvin Lewis." We'll have much more on that, your phone calls, as well as the lowdown continues on Sports 1140 KHDK. Well, I was going to wait 13 minutes to bring this to you, but I guess there's no reason to do that. Adam Schefter reports, and I guess this is no surprise to anybody. Le'Veon Bell is not reporting to the Steelers by the 4 p.m. deadline, 1 p.m. our time today, and is now ineligible to play the remainder of the 2018 season, source tells ESPN. His season is over. Bell will become an unrestricted free agent this winter when the bidding for his services will begin. Okay. So
did he win?
I don't know. I wanted to bring that to you. It was just tweeted by Schefter. We'll talk more about that at the top of the 1 o'clock hour. There's a couple of things we got to digest there. Something changed. And his agent figured something out. He figured something out. The Players Association called him. Something changed during the course of all of this. And truthfully, I don't think the Steelers care. I think they're thrilled that this is over. But we'll bring that to you. That's the latest. That's the official word from Adam Schefter. But we'll wait till 1 o'clock when it's 100% official. What did he go? Okay, I'm going to save all my questions because I got a lot of them, including why was he working out at 24-hour fitness or wherever he was, like after waving goodbye to Miami or whatever he did. Jimmy Butler did his introductory press conference for the Philadelphia 76ers. We'll have that coming up in the next hour. Jason and I will take a look at the NFC as well, and we'll get back to some of the NFL's poor decision-making. Of course, King's Talk, always available, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140, or you can talk about whatever you want to. This is your show. James Hamm coming up at 205. Pelicans hand the Raptors their second loss. I want to talk about that, but the Clippers beat the Warriors yesterday in overtime. I thought that was a story. That was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about the absence of Steph Curry and what it means for the team. But then you've got the reports of what went on with Draymond Green. Now, we all saw it on the floor. All saw that was a combination of floor and court, by the way. Floort. We all saw it on the floor. The floor or court, whatever your preference is. Thank God DeMarcus Cousins was there to be the voice of reason between Draymond Green and Kevin Durant. But we saw it on the court when Draymond – and I don't know what he was thinking. Like, why was Draymond Green doing that?
Right.
He got the rebound and he started dribbling the ball. Like, he was like Carlton in that Fresh Prince of Bel-Air where he throws the ball up and hits nothing, except he just dribbles the ball off his feet and runs out the clock. Like, that's what Draymond Green did yesterday. Meanwhile, you still have Kevin Durant on the floor. Well, apparently, according to Mark Spears of The Undefeated and Adrian Wojnarowski, that exchange that we saw the video of on the court actually continued into the locker room. And Mark Spears says it was the most heated confrontation in this era of Golden State Warrior basketball.
Yeah, which I don't know ultimately what that means, but obviously enough people felt compelled to share that story with either Woj or with Mark Spears. And I feel like that's very fixable. I feel like it's heated. I think that's all that is.
Sure.
But no one really knows unless you're around those guys every day. But I think Draymond's the kind that's going to speak his mind. Durant, I think, doesn't always bark back, but when he does, I think there's a reason behind it.
Like, he doesn't bark, like, he bites.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't bother barking.
Right.
Like he just gets to the point where he's going
to
bite.
Yeah, he went to 10. Like, he's like, he's cool. Whoa, he's not cool anymore. No, he wasn't. And he was upset. That's fine. That happens. Nothing that a conversation or a couple wins, I think, can just cure. But I don't know. I don't envision it being a bigger deal, but it is the champs. It is two very high-profile people. It is interesting, but I just think it's a fight that we saw part of it publicly and some of it not publicly. And to the best guess, I don't think it's going to be a thing.
To be fair, we won't know how bad it is until Durant's burner accounts start chiming in on
solid point. Monitor.
That's very true.
Chris is on a roll today. Chris is feeling good today.
Yeah.
Chris is feeling good today. The Warriors stumble now to an 11-3 record.
Mm.
Yikes.
I remember when they were good.
Lost in all of this, by the way, the Clippers were kicking the crap out of them.
Mm-hmm.
And they came back in the final minutes to send it to overtime. And it's one of those games where you're like, dude, I can't believe the Clippers did this again.
Yeah, they're going to lose. They're going to lose in overtime.
100%.
Yeah.
And they didn't.
They did not. They won. And that was a really nice win for them. And the Clippers have done some pretty good things. What are they, 8-5? 9-5, something like that?
The Clippers, I will give you the official record.
Or 8-5,
is,
yeah.
Yes.
That's good.
5.
Yeah.
6-1 at home, Staples Center. And anyways, Kevin Durant fouled out with 3:46 left in overtime. Clippers snapped a 7-game home losing streak against the Warriors, tied for the longest in franchise history, and have now won 2 of their last 3 meetings after losing each of their previous 12.
Hmm.
Oh, the good old days when the Warriors just beating the Clippers was a formality. Just a simple formality. Klay Thompson scored 31, but he shot the ball 31 times.
Ooh, that's not like him.
That is not like him. It's the second most attempts in his career. The Clippers, on the other hand, have beaten the Bucks and the Warriors in their last 2 games.
Hmm. That's interesting. They're here later in the month. I didn't know what to make of them, but they're doing a good job right now.
They're recruiting Kawhi. They're gearing up for a huge offseason.
Yeah. Do you think this Warrior thing's a thing or just heat of the moment?
No, I don't think it's a thing.
But I think it's interesting to people, and I get why it would be.
Draymond is a huge personality.
Yeah.
Kevin Durant's a huge personality. And now you got DeMarcus trying to calm Draymond down, and the visual of that is funny.
Yeah, so that's what makes me think. If that same incident happened with Draymond and DeMarcus, is that different?
Yes.
Yeah. Because now you have the two high profile personalities.
Yeah, people read DeMarcus differently.
Yeah.
They look at Kevin Durant like, oh, this is no big deal.
Yeah.
They're wondering now every time that if it's the scenario you presented, they're wondering if every time they step on the floor, DeMarcus and Draymond are going to try to kill each other.
Yeah. Okay.
But no one's going to believe that Kevin Durant and Draymond Green now is going to spill over into another game.
Yeah. And now, so we would think, okay, Draymond and Cousins is just two bombs ready to go off. What if it's Draymond yelling at Steph? I don't think that's landing well.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
Because, like, whoa, nobody yells at Steph.
Yeah. Nobody puts.
What are you doing? And if Steph were to yell, like, wait, what's happening here?
Sean Livingston said, it's just team spirit.
Team spirit. Oh,
which
is that right?
Led me to say it smells like team spirit.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you. I'm working all morning on that one. Not even a courtesy laugh. Forget you, Jason.
There was a courtesy laugh.
No, it's too late. Come see the top 10 nationally ranked UC Davis take on rival Sac State in the Causeway Classic this Saturday. Do not miss your chance to see this heated rivalry, as there are only a few tickets remaining. Kickoff is at 12 p.m. at UC Davis. Go get your tickets at ucdavisaggies.com or stay tuned. We've got a pair for you coming in the next hour here on The Lowdown.